Luke chapter 1, verses 26 down to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. I don't know what you make of those words that the angel said to Mary about the child that she was going to bear. Just remarkable. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Just remarkable. Giving, Christmas. Are you getting excited, guys? Are you getting excited? Clearly not. Oh, I've got a nod off Pauline, thank you. Boys and girls, are you getting excited? Yeah, there we go. A little bit more. They are over there. Good, a little bit more enthusiasm. That's great. Giving, it's all Christmas, it's all about giving, isn't it? What kind of things do we give at Christmas? What do we give? Go on, Joe.
Presents.
Yeah, loads of. Joe, have you given any presents yet to anybody? Do you teach? Have you given one to a teacher?
Yeah.
Teachers, they do so well, don't they, this time of year? I don't know what they moan about. They do so well. All that holiday and chocolate they get at Christmas. What else do we give? And I've insulted half the room. I know, I'm in trouble. Right now. What else do we give? What other kinds of things do we give, boys and girls? Come on, what can you think? Go on, Harry.
Christmas cards.
Christmas cards, yeah. Have you given Christmas cards to your friends at school? That's right. That's right. I think those are the two. Go on, Robert. You've got another one.
You give cake to
your favourite people. You give cake? Really? The patients give cake, folk. What's your address, Robert? We give all sorts of things, don't we? We give all sorts of things. Cake. I really like that idea of cake. We give presents and we give Christmas cards. And we give all sorts of things. And so for the next few minutes, we're going to be thinking about giving. We're going to be thinking about God, actually, what God gives to us. I think we're going to have our first reading. I think that's Cherith. Cherith, can you come and do our first reading just to help us think about that the next few minutes? Yeah, that's right. If you've got your Bible, if your Bibles are closed, folks, do pick them up again, please. And do turn to Luke chapter 2. What we're going to be thinking about in those few verses is that God gives the gift of his son. Now, I've brought some presents along with me. There we go. God gives the gift of his son. I brought some presents along with me this morning, and I was just wondering if there were any volunteers who might like to come and open one just to help us. Faith, do you want to come out? Here we go. Anyone else? How many have I got? I've got three, but I've got one quite big one that might take two people. As soon as you're first, which one do you want to choose? Out of that one. Yeah, okay, you go for that one. Okay, yeah, go on then. Yeah, do you want to come? Yeah, very brave, well done. And Evie and Robert, do you want to come? I've got more, don't worry. Sorry if you put your hand up. I've got more. Don't worry, Amelia. Amelia, I've got more, hang on. Right. Do you want to open it? Oh, I see. Go on then, Robert. You open that one with Evie, because that's a big one. Not that one. Right, there we go. You open that one. What have we got?
Eeyore.
A baby. What is Eeyore? What kind of animal?
A donkey.
A donkey. He's a very lazy donkey. He's a bit grubby, and he's probably a bit smelly. He's quite lifelike, isn't he, really? And a baby. Not a real baby. Oh, and what have you got here? What's that?
A map.
A map? Have you ever used a map? Have you? Look. Oh, let me put it that way around for you. What do you use a map for?
To guide you.
Guide where you want to go. That's right. How about that? Look at that map. Brilliant. Right, guys, thank you. I'll pick all that paper up after, don't we? Just pop those down on the floor for us. There we go. Sorry, it's not a real baby. All right, it's just a doll. That's right. We've got a donkey, a baby, and a map just to help us through those few verses. Pete, can we have those verses up, actually? That would probably be helpful. Or the slide. Oh, the slide. Okay, here we go. So, there we go. Right, Caesar Augustus. He was in charge of the area at the time, and he issued a census. Now, boys and girls, what can anybody tell me what a census is? What is a census? Yeah, Joe, do you want to have a go? That's right. That is right. So Caesar Augustus issued that census. He said, look, I want to know everybody who's in the land. I'm going to want to count them all up. And to help him do that, he sent people off to their hometowns. Pete, can we have the slide, please? Back on my presentation. Sorry, we'll stay on my presentation now to make it easier for you. Thanks, Pete. There you go. So he sent his soldiers out, and they said to everybody, look, this is what Caesar Augustus says. He wants to count everybody. And you've got to go back to your hometowns. And so Mary and Joseph heard that decree. And if we have the next slide, please. Mary and Joseph get on the donkey. And they set off towards Joseph's hometown. That was quite a long way. From what I read, it would have taken them around about 4 or 5 days. That's a long journey on a donkey, isn't it? It's bad enough in a car, let alone on a donkey. And don't forget, Mary was quite heavily pregnant at this time. A pretty uncomfortable journey. So they set off. So Joseph and Mary, because Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, they had to go to Joseph's hometown. Pete, can we have the next slide, please? And so they finally arrive. Let me ask this question. Where is Joseph's hometown? What was it? What was in those verses? Can anybody remember? Where is it? What's the place called? Can anybody remember? Yeah, go on, Isaac. Bethlehem, that's right. And we're told twice by Luke in those verses that Bethlehem was the town of David. And Joseph had to go to Bethlehem because Joseph was of the line of David. So Luke's telling us something that we've got to take note of. He tells us twice about Bethlehem being the town of David and about Joseph being from the line of David. So we've got to have a little think about David. Who do you think Luke was referring to when he said David? Okay, boys and girls, can you think who he might have been referring to when he said David? Anybody got any ideas? Yeah, go on, Harry.
The
person who killed Goliath, that's right. What was he when he after he killed Goliath, what happened to him? He was, he turned into a mighty king, that's right. He turned into the king of God's people. And when David was king of God's people, God, through a prophet called Nathan, said these words to King David. Can we have the next slide, please, Pete? That's because God had promised to King David that somebody from his family would always sit on the throne of his kingdom, which was ultimately God's kingdom, but that person would sit on his throne forever and ever. And God spoke these words to David. Pete, can we have the next slide, please? God said this to King David. He said lots of other things as well, but I just want to focus on this verse for us. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Boys and girls, how long is forever? Go on, Evie. Is it a long time? Is it longer than a long time? Is it a really longer than a long time? Yeah, it is, yeah. Shrugging her shoulders at me. Yeah, that's right. So what an amazing promise. Think about what God is saying to David at the time. Your kingdom, David, which is ultimately God's kingdom. But somebody would sit on your throne and your throne will be established forever and ever. And so Luke, in those verses that we read, just helps us, points us back to the Old Testament, and just helps us to remember that God made this promise to King David. And that this child that Mary was carrying and going to give birth to was no ordinary child. This child was going to be the fulfillment of that promise. That promise that God made was coming true in the baby that Mary was carrying. Pete, can we have the next slide, please? And so Mary and Joseph get to Bethlehem, the town of David, and that's where Mary has her baby Jesus. And so those verses help us to remember that God gives the gift of his son and fulfills that promise of a promised son to King David. We've got our second reading now. I'm going to ask Harvey to come up and do that for us. As Harvey comes up, if you've got a Bible, do turn again to Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests."
Thinking about God giving good news of great joy. Now, I've got some more presents. Who didn't get to open a present? There was somebody over here who didn't get to open one. Yeah, Harry and Amelia. Do you want to come and do one? You don't have to. I'll bring it to you. Is that easier? I'll bring it to you. That's okay. Harry, do you want to do that? Can you do that one? I'm coming back. You haven't got to take over, don't worry. I wouldn't do that to him. Go on, Amelia. Open that. I'll come back. I don't want to leave Harry on his own. Good. You can open it. You're not like that on Christmas Day, are you, surely? He's not like that on Christmas Day, is he? No, I don't think so. What's inside? You've got a... Boys, more. Oh, he's thrown the angel on the floor. An angel. Great, that's going to help us in our next bit of the story. There we go, let's put that there. Thank you very much, Harry, well done. What's Amelia, what did you get? Sean. We got Sean. Sean the sheep. Great, thank you very much. Let me take Sean the sheep. Dad, he's even got a little leaf in his mouth. Oh, somebody said, oh, come on. There we go. Great. There's Sean and the angel. They'll help us. So, here we are. The next, Pete, can we have the next slide, please? There we go. It started with shepherds out on the hills watching their flocks. Why would shepherds be watching their flocks? What might they be doing? Go on, Robert. Wild animals, yeah. Can anybody give me a wild animal that they might have been defending their sheep against? What kind of wild animals might there have been out there? Yeah, go on, Harry.
Bears.
Anything else? Does anybody think? Yeah, go on, Joe.
Lions.
Evie. Foxes. Yeah, and wolves maybe as well. Yeah. So shepherds. Would anybody like to have been a shepherd? No, I didn't think so. No, nor me. Imagine them there singing in the dark underneath those starlit skies with their flocks, and they've always got to be ready, always got to keep watch. Well, as they're sitting there doing their job, going about their business, an angel appeared. Go to the next slide, please. There we go. Oh, there they are. I don't know what they're discussing. Perhaps they're chatting about the latest bear or lion they fought off, maybe. And then an angel appeared. And it says that the shepherds, they were terrified. Now remember, these guys had to maybe fight off a lion or maybe a wolf. And these guys were terrified. This angel said, "Do not be afraid, angel of the Lord. I bring you good news of great joy." How about that? They looked terrified. Maybe they might have looked... Can you do a terrified face? Yeah? Good. That's good, Joe, that is. Anyone else? Crumbs. I don't know what Harry's pulling over there anyway. Maybe they looked a little bit like that. This next slide. Maybe they looked a little bit like that. I don't know. I've never seen an angel. The glory of the Lord's never shone around me. But anyway, there we go. Back to the shepherds, please, Pete. Maybe the shepherds looked a little bit like that. This angel appeared. But this angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy." Well, what is that news? The angel said, "Today in the town of David, down in Bethlehem, shepherds, down in Bethlehem, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He is a king, a saviour. That is the good news of great joy, shepherds. A saviour has been born. A king." And then suddenly, a whole host of angels appeared. Now, I don't know what angels would have looked like. Pete, can we have the next slide, please? But there was a whole host of angels. It must have been such a sight whilst the shepherds sat there on the hillside. And that all the angels sang, praised God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favour rests." So these shepherds, these angels are singing that. They are saying, we've got good news of great joy. A saviour, a king has been born in Bethlehem today. A king who will make peace, who will bring peace to the world. But why did the angels say that? Why did all those angels, praising God, say, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to whom his favour rests"? Well, we need to think a little bit about that, because that is why Jesus came. That is why God gave the gift of his Son. That is why God gave the gift of good news of great joy, that Jesus has come to bring peace on earth. And the angels were basically saying that Jesus, the Saviour, the King, has come so that you and me can now be friends with God. That's what the angels were saying. Because the Bible tells us that we are enemies of God. Boys and girls, can you tell me why we're naturally enemies of God? Can anybody tell me that? Yeah, go on, Robert. Because we disobey him. That's right. We've got sin in our hearts. And what sin does is, see, we say to God, "God, I'm not really interested in you. I don't really want to listen to you. I know perhaps maybe that you want me to live life this way, but I don't want to live that way. Actually, I don't want to live the way that you want me to live. I'm going to ignore you, and I've got my own life, and I'm going to decide that this is right for me to do and that's wrong for me to do. And God, I don't really need you." And the Bible says that because of the sin in our hearts, because we do that, we are enemies towards God. But the amazing thing is that God, in sending Jesus, made it possible so that we could now be friends with God. And that's possible, Pete, with the next slide, please. And that's only possible because that little baby that was born to Mary and Joseph, was going to grow up to be a young lad, and then a teenager, and then a man. And he knew that he was going to go to the cross. because he knew on the cross that he would take all of my sin and all of your sin, all of those ways that we turn our backs on God and reject him and ignore him and don't listen to him. He would take all of that upon himself and the punishment for it, because it's wrong and it needs to be punished and it will be punished. But Jesus came to go to that cross where he would take all of our sin, where he would be punished by God, so that we don't have to be, you don't have to be punished for your sin. Those trusting in what Jesus has done on the cross can have peace with God, can be friends with God. And so that's what the angels are saying. God has given us good news of great joy. Jesus, the Savior, the King, has come. We can be friends with God because of Jesus. We're still in Luke 2.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Great, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Lee. Right, Pete, if we can have the slides up. So we've thought a little bit about God giving the gift of his son, for a little bit about God giving good news of great joy. And then now we're just going to think a little bit about us giving praise, giving thanks to God for Jesus. One of the things I like to do, you know, Christmas, when you've got your food and you've got your Christmas dinner and a turkey in front of you, what else do you have on the table apart from a knife and a fork and a spoon? What else do you have on the table? Yeah, Harry? A cracker, yes. Not the type you eat, the type you pull and get a dodgy joke and a silly hat to wear. Does anybody want to pull one with me? Oh, brilliant. I've got three. I'll tell you what, that's either six people or I'll pull all three with you. One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, come on then, guys. Does anybody else want to do one? I need one more. Yeah, come on, Joanna. There we go. Who are you going to do it with, Faith? Who are you going to do it with, Robert? Yeah. Are you going to... Okay, fine, that's fine. Go on then. Oh, here we go. I'll tell you what. There you go, Joe. There you go, Joanna. Joanna, sorry. Go, go. Oh, what a bang. That was a good bang, wasn't it?
Oh, smoke.
Right, somebody... Have you got a hat? What else have you got in there? Have you got a dodgy joke?
Yeah.
Wouldn't be the same without a dodgy joke, would it? Oh, what have you got, Robert? What's the joke?
What does Santa stuff from if he gets stuck in a chimney?
What does Santa suffer? Can I have a look? What does Santa suffer from if he gets stuck in a chimney?
Smoke.
Who said it? Go on, Sharon. Claustrophobia. Crumbs. Did Mike write that? It was bad, wasn't it? Anyway, well done, guys. Well done. You can keep watching inside. Do you want to do yours, Joe? Go on then, one more.
What says O-O-O? Santa with hiccups.
Close.
Santa walking backwards.
Santa walking backwards. Oh, dear. It's not the same, though, is it, without a bad joke? The meal, the turkey, just doesn't taste the same. Go on then, guys. Go on, sit down. That's right. Well, we open crackers because it's good fun and we put on party hats and it's a little bit of a celebration. And so it just helps us to think a little bit about giving thanks, about giving praise, about being joyful towards God for Jesus. Pete, can we have the next slide, please? So there's the shepherds. Excuse me. There they are. They're on the hillside. They've just seen a host of angels praising God, telling them about Jesus. And Pete, can we have the next slide? And so they leave the hillside. They leave their sheep. And they race down into Bethlehem, and they look for baby Jesus. Can we have the next slide, please? There we go. And they find baby Jesus. But they also do something else. They go out and they tell, well, presumably, people in the town of Bethlehem, where they were, everything that they had heard and seen. So in other words, what they'd gone is that they'd gone around telling people, you're not going to believe this. We've just seen a host of angels and they've told us about a saviour, about Jesus the King being born, and that we can be friends with God. And then they'd go and tell the neighbour and they'd go and tell someone else. And they were just rejoicing and praising God because of the good news of great joy that they had just heard, they had just seen, and they had gone to see this baby in Bethlehem, to see Jesus, to see this king whose kingdom would last forever and ever. And they were just so joyful and delighting in God for what he had done for them and for the world. And I know, guys, when you get to Christmas Day, you're going to be so excited. I don't know how early you're going to get up. Maybe you'll get up really, really early, like 9:30. You know, really early. Maybe even earlier, like 10 o'clock. Trying, parents, I'm trying. Maybe you'll get up really early like that. But you're going to be so excited, aren't you? And rightly so, you're going to be so happy and joyful. And you've got all these presents maybe under the tree that you're going to open and you're going to enjoy playing with. And have some really good fun. But I do want you to remember as well that just as happy and as joyful as you feel about all those presents, we can be happy and joyful too towards God and thank him and praise him for sending Jesus, who made it possible for us to be friends with God. I don't know what kinds of things that you're going to receive. I'm sure some of those things that you're really going to be really looking forward to. You're going to get so excited over. Perhaps you've been waiting for like ages, 2 weeks for. I mean, that's ages, isn't it? 2 weeks. And Christmas Day is going to come. And you're going to be looking forward to that. And it's going to be great. But the even better gift that you can receive is to receive the gift that God has given to you and to me. Is to receive Jesus. Well, how do we receive Jesus? Well, I want to encourage you to ask God, ask Jesus to come and be the king of your life, to sit on the throne of your heart, to be the king of your heart, and trust in him. Trust that he paid for your punishment on the cross, and that because of Jesus, you can be friends with God. And call Jesus your king and call him your Lord. That is the best gift anybody, you or I, can receive this Christmas time of year, is the gift of God's Son, the Saviour, the King, who would be able to make us friends with God.